This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ who overcame. Thank you that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, Lord. Thank you that you're a good Father. Thank you that you've done everything for us, Lord, so that we can come close to you, that we can hear your voice, that we can hear what is on your heart. Thank you that you give us identity, that you give us destiny. Thank you that we know where we come from, where we are at, and where we're going to, Father. It amazes us, Father, and how you work with your Holy Spirit and how all those things operate, Lord. It's just a mystery, but it's awesome. We thank you. We give glory to you, our King. We honor you. You are the best. There is no better God than you, Lord. We love you, Lord. May these worship songs, may this worship, Father, be a sweet sound to you, Father. We humbly come before you. We want to thank you for everything you've done. Thank you, Lord. You're so amazing. Thank you, Father. Father, I also pray for every heart that we will open our hearts now, Father, for what you have on your mind for today. Lord, you've shared with me. Help me that I will speak it exactly as what you wanted to be said, Father. Thank you that it will fall on fertile ground. You promised this, Father. So thank you for soft hearts, Father. Thank you that everyone will receive exactly what you have in mind, Father, and nothing will come and steal it in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we honor you. We honor you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much. It's good to have the guitar back. If it was only for me, it's worth it. Welcome, everyone. There's a few new faces. God spoke every week. We pray and we hear who must preach, and God shared with us both that it's my turn. And so I just pray that you will hear what I say. It's not about me. It's really about what God has on his heart. And he knew beforehand who will come. He knew beforehand who will be here. Because I saw a few new faces and I thought, Lord, is this applicable? And then he says, yes, of course, it's applicable. So we just honor our God and who he is. Okay, we're going to jump right in. Am I standing right? Yeah. I'm going to try to look through my glasses. Okay. Hear my words. It's about God speaking to us. And I know even in an evangelical church or in a charismatic church, not everyone hears his voice clearly. It's always a challenge. I think that's one of the questions I'll ask God when we enter in heaven. Lord, why was the telephone line always so congested or not clear? Why couldn't we communicate so easy with you? Why was it so difficult? Why did we often not hear your words? And I don't know if it will be applicable then, because we will be in his presence, so most probably we will know, hopefully, what is on his heart always. So let's go. The first verse that I want to bring to us is 2 Samuel 2, verse 1 and 2. It's a conversation between David and Jehovah. We also sang about Jehovah, and Yahweh. We sang about Yahweh. But Jehovah is the God of Israel. And it's actually, if you read Genesis 1, it says, and God, in the beginning, God, and then it carries on, created the earth or the heavens or what. And that God is actually plural because it's a Trinity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when I'm speaking of God, I mean Trinity. Now, it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Father. It's not just Jesus. Okay, so God spoke to David, and he said, we read, after this, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. David said, to which shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. What I want to say here is David and God spoke with one another as how I speak to you. Now, it is not a mystery. It's not somewhere in cloud 7 or 9. It is clear. He spoke in a normal way. He said, Lord, do I need to go up to any of the cities? And then God said yes. And then said, okay, Lord, but what city then? To Hebron. So it was not confusing to David. And he reacted on it. He went. So what we see is that here, the next slide is here. Here means you hear something is going on. You hear a noise. And I'm too sweaty with this thing on. It's so hot now. So here, when my children ask me stuff and I'm busy, I just say, yes, yes. And then later on I said, who told you may do this? Yeah, I didn't really hear. I heard a sound. So hear can mean you hear a sound, but it must also mean you grasp what the person is saying. Now, do you click what is said? So if one of our sons would ask me, Mom, can I have a chocolate? And I just say, yes, just carry on. I must grasp that it's about the chocolate and we're going to eat now. So perhaps it's not a good timing. But so we must listen we must understand what we hear. Okay? And then the next thing is do. So here has three things. If you just can carry this home, it's already awesome. So we hear the noise, we grasp what is said, and then we do what is said. So when God speaks to us, these three things are very important, to hear, to grasp, and to do. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 2, verse 2. It was so cool when God said to me, yes, I'm going to speak about to hear his voice. I said, okay, Lord, which verses would you like me to take? And then he says, 2 Samuel 2, verse 2. Deuteronomy 2, verse 2. So it was kind of, so perhaps you will also remember 2, verse 2. And then it said, then the Lord said to me, to Moses, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northwards. So Moses could understand. He heard. He grasped what God is saying. And then he said to the Israelites, okay, go. Let's go north now. It's now time to go north. And then he gave also other instructions in verse 9, where he says, and the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the people of Lot for a possession. So God said, go north, you'll pass through them, but chill, you're not going to fight them. You're just going to walk slowly or what, quickly, I don't know. You may trade with them. If you read a little on, he says, you may trade with them. You may buy food from them. Exchange stuff. But already God has put a fear in those people that they will not go at war with you. But take care that you also don't pick up a weapon. So they passed through. And it went well. And then again, now rise up and go over the brook of Zered. So we went over the brook of Zered in Deuteronomy 2, verse 13. God said to them step by step. He didn't say, okay, now you go north, you go through Moab and also through the area where Esau was living, his descendants, and you go and then you do this and then no. It was step by step. And I experienced it that when you didn't hear and grasp and do, it stops. It's as if God waits for you. Okay? Didn't you hear? So when are you going to move? So last time I had this story about when you sit in the bus and you say, Lord, can I can I share the gospel with someone? Do you want to highlight? Then he says, yes, that lady. And then he said, okay, when she touches her hair, then it must be her. And then, Lord, if she's still there on the next bus stop, and so on. And at the end, she left the bus and you didn't speak. Okay, so, or I didn't speak. So I heard, I grasped, but I didn't do. I didn't go. So, and then I felt that God stops. He does. He. It's not that he's cross with me or he doesn't want to share anymore, but it's kind of, we are still at that point. And I think people who have children or when you were still young, if I say to my children, yes, you clean your room and then you can come and eat. If the room is not cleaned, how can you do the next step, eat? So first, obey the first one and then the second one. It's a very simple principle. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy 1, verse 26. Deuteronomy 1, just for information. God said to me, I must not share everything on Deuteronomy 1, but it is beautiful to see the whole thing of how Israel left Egypt, what happened to them. It's just one chapter. It's really not so much. And it's very, very short that Moses recites it again, and he says, yes, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and then you did this, and then God said that, and ta-ra-ta. So I'm just going to highlight one verse, and it says Deuteronomy 1, verse 26, yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Rebelled. My accent, or my, okay, whatever. You understand what I mean, at least. At least we have many different backgrounds, so we have many different intonations and connotations or whatever. Okay, so what happened here is God said to them, you must go into Canaan. Then they asked, can we put out spies to look, to check out the land? Then they came back, they said, it's a super fruitful place, but we are scared. They are of the Anakim, they are of the giant people, and their walls are as high as to the heavens, the walls that is around the cities. So they were actually scared, and then they didn't want to go. And this is what this verse is about. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. So often, I think, if we hear God speaking to us, we often rebel, but why, Lord? I'm not into this now, and I'm really not wanting to do this, and this is really out of my comfort zone. Unfortunately, we do the same. And then, so I'm not going to... what happened, many of you know that they went... for 38 years, around and around and around in the desert, and challenged God even more. Okay, so, and then we read in 2 Kings 2, it's again 2:2:2. Okay, and Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. And then Elijah said, I'm going with you. As the Lord lives and you, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went to Bethel. It's easy. God told Elijah, go to Bethel. He heard, he grasped, and he was on his way. He did. He didn't say, okay, perhaps next year, Lord, or in 38 years, or whatever. He went. Okay, so he just said, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And he did it. Okay, 1 Samuel 2. Why then do you... Oh, this was about Eli. Eli was the high priest. I want to say the head priest. The high priest and his sons were helping to serve and to the sacrifices that the people brought. They all brought will bring the animals, and then it has to be slaughtered and cut up, and then some is cooked, some is fried. And what his sons did, they, every time and again, they took the best pieces of meat for themselves because they were also allowed to eat of those sacrifices, but not the way they did it. And even when an Israelite would come and sacrifice and they would say, no, but we need to burn the fat on the fire, they would say, no, give it to me. So they were really rude. And God spoke to Eli about it, And he told his sons, it's not so cool what you do, and you have sex with the ladies also around there at the temple. So, or at the places of sacrifice. I don't know if they had a temple already. So he warned him. He said, this is not cool. And then a man of... But for the rest, he didn't reprimand them. He didn't discipline them. Okay? I don't know if this is a word for someone, but I sometimes feel that we cover everything with love and we forget that discipline is part of love. Discipline brings security. Discipline brings safety so that you can operate in society, not awkward, not that people yell at you, because you were disciplined, you know how to go your way. So discipline is not ungodly, it's godly. We need to learn how to be. If we were not disciplined, perhaps there was more wars and more fights or whatever. But you learned, have a soft, don't hit immediately. Just hear what it's all about. I don't know. Okay. So now in verse 29, this a man of God, it says in the Bible, a man of God came and he spoke to Eli. He says, God spoke to me and he said this, why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling and honor your sons above me, fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel? So he's complaining with Eli and he's saying, you choose your sons above me. Don't we often do this ourselves? That we say, okay, Lord, I love my family dearly where I come from. But sometimes I said, Lord, I'm going to follow and do what they ask me and just hold on a while. You understand much better. So I'm not going to do now what you ask me. I actually chose them above above abiding in God. And this was what Eli also did. He spoke to them, but not really very hard. Okay. And then he said, therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. This was the promise that God made with Eli. He said, you and your family will always be part of the priestly title, and you will bring the offerings, and this is my plan with your family. This is what I have for your family. God has plans for all of us, for every family, for every person. But he says, okay, this is what God had for you, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Unfortunately, in the ESV, me and so on is not written in capital letters, but it speaks of God himself. No? Far be it from me, God, for those who honor me, God, I will honor, and those who despise me, who is God, shall be lightly esteemed. So, and then he in essence, he said, everything that you put above me, I'm going to take away from you. The ark was very important to Eli. He felt, well, I'm close to God's presence. It's super cool. At least I'm safe because I'm close to God's presence. I think most of us would have felt that way. That at least I've got the ark here and seemingly his presence is here, or he believed it. And so nothing will attack me around this. So that when he got the news that the ark was stolen, he fell backwards and he died. No? And he also said that his children will not inherit any further this priestly anointing or this job. Okay, 1 Samuel 3 verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, here I am. How many of us has heard these words? I don't know if any of you heard. I was asleep and then I woke up at 3. A few weeks I woke up at 3. And then I thought, okay, God is waking me up because I don't pray in daytime, so perhaps I must pray at night. So I will pray now while I'm awake at 3 in the morning. And And he said, are you prepared to go, to immigrate? I said, no. Where must I go to? Perhaps to the Netherlands. I don't want to go. And he said, no, to Spain. I said, Spain? I can't even speak Spanish. And no. And then for about 6 weeks afterwards, every scripture I read was when Jesus called the disciples. And he said, come with me. Not one of them said no. And I repented, but I missed it. Yeah? I missed the call. We never went to Spain. And perhaps I laugh about it now, but it's sad. Actually, it's super sad. Because my first reaction was no. I'm 40, Lord. I have a sprinkling system in my garden. And my children are all happy. In South Africa, that is it's a must. Otherwise, you stand with your housepipe very many hours. And all three of children had a good teacher for that year. And ik zat lekker in my vel. I was happy. This is going to be a cool year. And now suddenly God asked me, am I prepared to go to Spain? This was not cool. So I missed it. So when God asks you, like for Samuel, Lord, and he called Samuel and said, here I am. I just pray that each one of us will not miss it anymore. That we will say, here I am, Lord. What is on your heart? Okay. So all of these, we can see they heard, they grasped, and they did. Or they did not. They rebelled. They had a reaction. The rebel is perhaps not the best one. And what I did was also not cool. But we need to follow through what God speaks to us. Okay, let's hop quickly to the New Testament, where Jesus speaks himself, and he says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Who of you here are sheep? You don't need to answer. But I suppose everyone. I may be wrong. But if you are his sheep, a follower of Jesus Christ, you can hear his voice. So why do we struggle? We're going to look at that later. But God says, Jesus says, I know my sheep. He knows you individually. Don't ever think that he doesn't know you. Sometimes we feel far away from God. But it's not the truth. It's our emotions, and they can lie to us. When you come for deliverance or whatever, I teach you that our emotions, our soul part, comes from three places: God, the enemy, or ourselves. So you cannot go with emotions. I feel God is very far of me. Yeah, well, just read the Bible. Where does he say he is? Okay, and that is the truth. That is where God is. When he says the Holy Spirit is in you, that is the truth. Do you feel him? No, not every day. But that's not the problem. The problem, what you think is, he's not there. He is there. We miss it often. Okay. So my sheep hear my voice, and I know my sheep. And then John 10:4. When he has brought out all his own sheep, it's the sheep what he's talking about, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We are supposed to know his voice. We are not supposed to be confused when we hear him speak to us. We're supposed to know. And I know we don't. And I'm not the only one. I know. When you come from a religious church, what is a religious church? Is it more the Pekan churches? Or I don't know. I was brought up in a Dutch Reformed church. They don't tell you how to hear God's voice. You don't even know that you can hear him. So I don't know how they skip over these verses. So for many years, I didn't know. But now I know I can hear his voice. And God does speak. And he has that for each one of you today. That you will hear his voice, and that you will know that this is God. And yes, in the beginning, we wonder, is this God? Is it not? Test it with the word. It's the easiest way. test it. Does it? Is it in line with the truth? Is it in line with what God would have said? If you hear a voice and it tells you, murder your neighbor, it's not from God. Okay? So that's an easy one. Sometimes it's more difficult, but the more you know the word, the easier it is. The more you know God the Father, how his heart works and what he wants for you, the easier it is to discern. Okay. Sorry. John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Again. John 10, 26. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. What happens here is that the Pharisees was not belonging to Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was God's son. They didn't want to believe it. So he says, okay, so that's why you will not understand, because you don't believe. You don't believe in me. So you will not hear what I say. And isn't that often with us? When someone tells you a theory or whatever, and you think, ugh, whatever. This is so far off the truth. You don't even listen further. No, we kind of block out. It's a veil that comes over us. So we don't even listen carefully. And I think that happened with the Pharisees as well. They just thought, ugh, who is this man? He thinks he's God's son. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. But because we have an attitude like that sometimes, we miss the whole thing. Once when I did a course in deliverance, you can hear my heart is deliverance, befriending. I just see so many people come free, set free, and that's because Jesus died for us, so it's possible for every one of us. But I was in that course, and it was, some of you know the story, it was an American guy who taught this course from 9 to 9 for 3 days. And I was not very positive about Americans because I think they believe they own the world and they have bigger cars and I don't know whatever. I have never really met an American, so it was really a stupid attitude I had. What happened? The first few hours this guy spoke, I thought, yeah, another guy that founded his own church. I couldn't hear what he's saying. I could hear the sounds, but I couldn't grasp it because of my own rotten attitude. I missed it. And then something said to me, now I know it was the Holy Spirit. With that attitude of yours, you will receive nothing. And then I said, okay, then I will take as if everything is okay. Which was the other way. We must listen with discernment. Also, as I speak, you must test it. Is this the word? Is this what God is saying? Because every time we must go back to the word. The Bible is the truth. If you can find it there, then it was the truth. Okay. It was the biggest change of my life, that course. I said, okay, Lord, then I will say yes to everything and I will test it at home. And I tested it in 3 months' time. I studied. It was a big English book like this. I'm not good in English. So I had a dictionary, I had 3 translations of the Bible because he has very many scriptures, and I had a medical book as well because it was about the spiritual roots of diseases, and I had gluten allergy, and they said the root of gluten allergy is fear and fear of a broken heart, and I thought it is gluten. So I had to study it, and I studied it for 3 months, and after the 3 months I realized, for the first time in my life, I don't have any gluten allergy. And I did eat some gluten. I always cheated a little. It's very difficult to keep it away totally. And then I realized, but God is more than just a good idea. And that was when I got reborn. Because I knew God is alive. He is with us. He wants to talk to us. He speaks to us. But my ears were just, I was so veiled. I couldn't. I had this terrible attitude. I was not humble. I didn't even know really, I think, what means humble. It was terrible. Okay. That was John 10:26. Good. The next slide has a few points. We are nearly there, because there's a long ministry. What I found is to hear God's voice. first thing is we need to believe. We need to believe that He is God and that He wants to speak to us. I have met people who had an encounter with God without believing. So God can even speak through that. But then afterwards they believed. Okay, so they came to believe. But yeah, it's a good start to believe. And then do we follow? Do we follow in that sense? Do we hear and do we do? Do we grasp and do we do? If God says to you, bring a cake to your neighbor. She's sick in the bed and bring a cake to her. You think, no, that's awkward. Why will I do that? I don't speak to her. We had a fight about the dog last week and I'm not going to do that. Do we follow through? Lord, I don't think it's you that says that. No. Will God say something like that? Of course. Because He loves your neighbor. And He wants us to be friends. And He wants us to be good and kind to one another. It's not ungodly to bring a cake to your neighbor. Even if she didn't ask for one. I wonder what will happen if we do that. If God says that to all of us. This week, everyone must bring a cake to his neighbor. Then next week, we will hear what happened. Okay, He didn't say that. So perhaps you must pray that you don't hear it. No. Okay, so do we follow the helper? Our helper is the Holy Spirit. God sent to us the helper. And I asked God while I sat with this sermon, I said, Lord, will you just explain to me how the Holy Spirit works? It would be so cool, even if I can grasp a little. He said, no, it will be a mystery to you. It's like the wind. And as I saw the wind when we worshiped, it blows where it wants to blow. It works the way God knows. And but it is a helper. It is a helper He sent to us. The Holy Spirit is living in us. So He helps us to hear God's voice. He also helps us to even give you a tip. Perhaps it's a good thing to react on it. He stirs you. Sometimes when I feel God is saying to me something during worship and I feel it's for the church and I must bring it to the front, I say, no, I don't think so. And I start sweating and then Dad can look at me and he said, you have got a word. I said, no, I don't think so. And because I'm so scared, it's selfish and it was just for me. But why will God share with me a word in church? He could have shared it with me privately if it was for me alone. But it's because we have fear of people. We are scared that we miss it. And yes, we will miss it sometimes. Because it is not this perfect telephone line. So we will miss it sometimes. But God still honors your effort. He still honors that you thought it was Him and you acted on it. And as long as you don't do evil stuff, it will be cool. Yeah? So don't worry. Okay, and then, so the Holy Spirit is our helper. How that works, it's still a mystery, but it works. Isn't it beautiful how God created us? That there's a dimension which we cannot dissect. Is that the word, what the surgeons do? They can open my brain and they can see there's lots of stuff is in it, but they cannot grasp a thought. They cannot take out a thought. They cannot take out an image. Yeah, they can destroy a few cells and then perhaps I will not remember the image, but it is such a mystery how God made us. It's a dimension that we are surely living in, and we feel, we have emotions, we can hear God's voice. How that works, I don't know, but we can. It's not an assumption. You literally hear what is on His heart. We'll see just now how. Okay. It's normal for you to hear His voice. Welcome to the normal sheep. You're supposed to hear His voice. And I know you all can. I know you not all can. I didn't. So I know there's some of you that can't hear His voice. And I think even if you can hear His voice, you want to hear it more often and more loud and more clear, not so confusing. I'm reminded of Samson, who had to put the sheepskin outside and said, okay, the whole earth must be wet and that thing dry, and then the next day it must be wet and the whole earth dry. That's a way of making sure it's God. It's a way. Okay, so you're normal. You're a normal sheep. You know his voice, and God knows you. And then young and old, God spoke to Samuel. He was not so old. And he speaks to children. Sometimes children can hear better than us because they don't have these filters. They don't think, oh, it's stupid. Oh, perhaps they will think I'm crazy. The one place where we lived before we moved into the flat where we are living now, the guy said, okay, so how does your Christianity work? Do you hear voices? Then I said, no, I only hear one voice. It's God's voice. Oh, and does Dergan also hear voices? I must say to you, I failed the test. I didn't. I just want to kill the guy, and I couldn't. And, you know, I went back home and I prayed for him, but I didn't have a good answer then. So, yes, I do hear voice, not voices. Okay, and then our reaction. I had the testimony of Spain that I missed it. Once I did some of, lately I think I get it more often right. At one stage, God told me to borrow my tent to a girl. She wanted to go on a camp. It was the end of the year, her last year at school, and then there's a tradition that you all go to a place and you drink a lot and you sleep around as many as you can, and for a week. And to celebrate, you finished school. It's terrible. I just prayed my children through that. And some of them didn't go, and some came back early. But yeah, praise God. We are all alive still on this side. And this girl wanted to borrow our tent, and I didn't want to borrow it to her because I know her. She will drink a lot, and she will sleep around a lot, and then my tent is defiled. Okay? And who will wash it? Okay, so I didn't want to. So I went to the toilet, and normally I speak to God often there. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with this tent? It's actually rotting in the garage, but I really don't want to give it to her. And then God said, I want you to give it to her. I want you to borrow it. Okay, good, then I will do this, Lord, because I learned I must say yes. So I repented of my unwillingness, and I phoned her and I said, yes, you can borrow this tent, but I expect you to bring it back in the same order that you received it. And you must come. It was a little difficult tent. It was not so easy to erect it. I said, and come once, and then I'll show you how to put it, and then we can inspect it and see how it is, and then in the same condition, I would love to receive it back. So I went to bed, but I was not happy. And Dergan already slept, and I read in Psalms. And there's different Bible translations now, but that translation that I read that evening, it says in Psalm 91, verse 10, it says, nothing will come close to your tent. In some translations, it says to your house or to your home or whatever. That day, it spoke of my tent. And I said, okay, Lord, I trust you. Eventually, she came to put it up at our place, and she never borrowed it. I think she thought it was a smaller tent or whatever. But it was a test for me. Where am I willing to follow through? Or am I stingy with my stuff? It's my tent. No, God wanted it. So, yeah. Okay, how does God speak? In your time with him, I had to learn to keep quiet. I talk a lot. And you cannot hear when you speak. No, well, I can't. You must, some people can perhaps, I don't know, but I cannot. So often we listen just to react. So when someone says something, you in your brain, you go, what can I say back? What can I say back? No. When you speak to God, you wait. And I waited. The first time I waited, I shared that also before, 20 minutes. I said, Lord, you say we can hear your voice. I clearly don't hear it. I'm going to sit here on this bed and I wait. And luckily I had more than an hour. So I sat. I said, I'm not moving here. I had my coffee next to me and I sat nicely on my bed. I didn't have to go to work that day. It took 20 minutes. I think God wanted to make sure that I really want to hear his voice. And I heard something. Of course, I didn't recognize his voice because I haven't heard him. And then I said, okay, Lord, if this is you speaking, will you be so kind to show me scripture that says that? I'm so sad I can't remember what it was. But he showed me, he said, okay, say Isaiah 2 verse 5. I don't know the Bible so well, so if God gives me a scripture, I have no clue. When he says Samuel 2 verse 2, I don't know what it says. I have to look it up. And it exactly was the thought that I had. So I knew, okay, perhaps this was God. So the next time I waited, not so long, praise God. I didn't have to wait so long. But the more I asked him and I kept quiet, I didn't speak, I really expectantly wait, something came up. And then to check it, is this God or is it not? And then when he gives you scripture and you check it out and you say, it is, man, it's a good feeling. But then you must still obey. Okay, so when you speak with God, when you sit with him, I think our biggest problem is we don't. We don't speak to God. Yes, a quick prayer on the road. Please protect us on this holiday. Thank you for this holiday. We are safe back home. Bless this food. This is not speaking to God. Okay? I hope you realize that. That is not a time. If this was the only way I spoke to Derkan, our marriage wouldn't have lasted. Okay? You have to have interaction. You have to communicate. You have to say, like David said, should we go up to any city? Then God said yes. Okay, yes, Lord, what city? There must be feedback. It's a normal conversation. It's not some mystery that you have to find at corner three. It's clear. Okay, so, and then, so you wait to hear. And especially the ladies, keep quiet. Don't speak. Chill. And if your brain goes anywhere, you bind it. We have authority to bind it. We say we bind every thought that goes away and is not focused on God. I bind it. You will have no power in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you sit again and you wait. Okay? And he will speak to you because God wants relationship with you. He loves you. He has a lot to say to you. Okay? And then in scripture. Scripture is a super cool test. This is the truth. You can know if the words you get is not how God reveals himself in scripture. It is most probably not God speaking to you. So just test it again. Just test it again. So the word, it's the best. It's really the best. It's not old-fashioned. You can understand it. We're going to pray just now. Some of us have Yeah, I feel I have to say this. Some of us have been baptized infant, and I baptized my children as infants. It was part of the church. And then I realized this is not what God says in the scripture. Come to Encounter One. We can share with you. You can ask questions. But it's exactly where your third eye, where the third eye is actually. That's where we baptize. We sprinkle the people there. And what does it do? Because it's not a thing of God, it brings a veil. Cook. It closes. It closes. So what happened? I couldn't read the word. If I read four verses, I felt, you were so good today, Renee. But if anyone asked me, what did I read? I couldn't tell them. Because I couldn't grasp. It blocked. So long afterwards, I learned that can be an obstacle of you hearing. Okay? We're not going to condemn anyone. I'm not want to say anything. You can ask me questions, but that when that veil goes, it's really more easier. Okay? Then we can hear God speaking through people. God uses people to prophesy over you, but don't run after prophets. Run after God. Okay, it's still people. They can still miss it. And even when we pray for you, for each other in church, we believe it's God speaking through us that we pray for you. But we can miss it. We are not God. So I think this is what God says to me for you. So that is what I will pray over you. But if it's, and we only pray good things. We will not say, oh, you'll die in an accident or something like that. Then we just stay quiet. We don't go there. Because definitely, perhaps it was, I don't know, but yeah. So, okay. So through people, people can confirm often. You feel you have to do this or start a new small group or whatever. And then someone else will confirm. I felt God said this to you. for a long time, a girl stayed with us. She was 23 till 27. I sometimes speak of her. And what did I want to say now through people? I can't remember. Okay, let me carry on. Good. So through people, we receive words or prophecies or so. Pictures. God gives me often pictures. We have that saying, a picture speaks 1,000 words or something like that. It is so. A picture speaks more than just a word. If God says, go, or I see a tunnel with light at the end, perhaps, I don't know. A picture is just more informative. Okay? So it can be through pictures, through dreams. It's totally biblical. Not every dream is from God. Okay? So even if you know, you remember the dream vividly, it's not to say it comes from God. Check it. Test it. Ask God, Lord, do you want to say to me something about this dream? I had this da-da-da-da-da. Is this from you? Will you confirm it in the Word? He will. He loves you. Okay? And then books, movies, songs, etc. I'm not a very good one with movies. I always feel it's someone else's fantasy story that you must look at. I don't have time for that. I'd rather speak to God myself than watch fantasies. But sometimes there are really good movies. There's also now a movie coming out of, we prayed in Parliament against abortions, and it's a movie about someone who got pregnant or what. Well, the movie will come. Please support it. It's about a lay, it's about not going through abortion. Because God doesn't make babies to make them die. Okay, this is not his plan. He has a plan for every baby, for every person. Good. And then I said, God is very clear. Okay, the last thing is possible blocks. Of course, this is not all the blocks. It's a few that God shared with me. Unbelief. Unbelief can be a block. Unbelief brings rebellion. You cannot hear. You cannot listen. Unconfessed sin. If you know you have a sexual relation out of wedlock, this is not what God wants in the Bible. If you do not repent of it, it can block you. It's as easy as that. The Bible teaches us sin is in between us and God. That blocks the channel. So get that out of the way. I just see a vein where blood goes through, and then when you have cholesterol or something like that, it clogs it. Get the clogs out of the way, then you will hear clearer. Okay? Unconfessed sin. Disobedience. God is still waiting for you there, and now you want to jump there. First clean your room, then you can come and eat. Kind of that. So disobedience can be a block. Not spending time or reading his word or asking and waiting and expecting an answer. I think this is the biggest one. Not making time. Not thinking it's important. If you think it's important, three, five times, we were at a marriage enrichment course. And one of the things we had to write down is, what is most important to you in life, and second and third and fourth or something? And how much time do you spend of each one of them? And holy, holy says, God is the most important in my life. How much time do you spend with God? Not so much. You see, we say stuff. We say Christian-like things. God is my first. And then, how does it show in your life? You don't even talk to him once a day. You don't even spend 2 minutes a day. But you expect he must do everything for you. And I'm not talking about you, it's me, myself. So this is a big block. We don't spend time. If this is your priority, you will hear his voice. Okay? Thinking it's not for you. It's not for me. I don't need to bring the cake. I think there's another neighbor. She has some family that takes care of her. La da da da. Okay? Not being baptized or baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's not a prerequisite. It's not that you cannot hear God's voice without that. It's just easier. It's as if more veils move, as if more obstacles move. And it's being obedient to God. So if God says in the word, repent and be baptized, it's yes, sir. It's not if I'm in the mood and I think it's necessary and this is how I read it. It's yes, sir. Okay? And fear or an unwillingness, often we are scared of people. What would people think if I confront them and say, here is a cake for you. I felt like bringing it to you. We are scared that people think you are crazy, you're stupid, you're whatever. What does it matter? If God tells you bring a cake, be a blessing, be a blessing. Not say, here is the cake, take it. I want to bring you a cake. I just felt God speaking to me to bring you this cake. May you enjoy it. I hope it was a good cake. Enjoy it. I think most people will be surprised positively. And if they don't eat cake, they will give it to someone else or chuck it. I don't know. Okay. John 10:27 again. I this time put in the Amplified Classic. It's my favorite translation because I'm not so good in English. It has some extra describing words, which I love, so that I can understand the text as well. But it is, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Isn't it beautiful? They hear and are listening. So the sheep hears and they walk behind Jesus, behind the shepherd. Okay. Amen. This was it. Now I feel God is saying to us to that if there's any blocks, was that the last? Is there another one with the blocks? Yeah. If you feel there's any block that you can identify, or another one that's not here, we're going to pray now for one another. And don't be intimidated. God knew you will be here. God has this for you on your heart. If you're not accustomed to this, just chuck it out of the door. No one is going to kill you. We are all loving, kind people. And we all want to be a blessing for one another. That's why we come together as a church also. We want to bless one another. So what I felt God is saying, that all the leaders must come to the front now. So while I'm talking, come. All the leaders, everyone who has done the small group leader training or has a small group, everyone comes to the front, please. And then, as you're standing here, and smile and be friendly. And don't worry what God is going to say and speak through you, because he is bigger than that. Please come. Yes. And then, I'm just going to ask, I felt God is saying everyone is going to come. Everyone needs to hear his voice better. Perhaps we can take a few chairs away of the first row just to have some more space. That every one of us needs to hear his voice. If you hear his voice, hallelujah, but then you need to hear it more and better. Now, so let's come and give the, I don't know what you call it in English now, the benefit of the doubt to God. Don't be rebellious like I was. You just cut yourself off. Don't do that. Just hear what is God saying to you. So I feel every one of us will get a turn to come to the front, pick a person here, and cue in any sense, come and pray and just repent. We will play some music of only one block. If you have 10, then you speak all 10. You say, but be quick. No, I'm just teasing. Just say, Lord, I feel I don't spend time enough with you. I repent of that in the name of Jesus Christ. And then I ask the leaders to just pray a very short blessing over them. If you can anoint them, just pray a blessing over them. If you feel God is giving you a word, just share with them quickly. Okay? And then as you all went through, or those who dare to come through, I think all of you dare. You are not timid or shy or whatever. Then we can pray for one another. And after the first song, then otherwise they must put it on repeat. If we are not finished yet, then you can start worshiping. We will have two worship songs afterwards, and then we would love to see you with coffee. We will not check if you came. Okay? So relax. We love you. We think it's a privilege of you being here. We honor everyone. And so I'm going to give a short prayer. And then Urbanus will put on the music, and then I ask you to just come to the front. And you are free to pick someone. We love men to pray with men and women with women. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to hear your voice, Lord. And we struggle, Father, and today you shared this with us and you want us to hear your voice more because it makes us rooted. It makes us known where we come from, where we are at, and where we're going to, Father. And that makes us happy. That makes us blessed. That makes us rooted. That makes us be a blessing to the people around us, to everyone who we connect with. So this is your heart, is that we will be a blessing, Lord. But Lord, we humbly come before you today and we say, we do not hear you so well. And sometimes we don't hear you at all. And we repent of that, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, I now again see the picture of angels standing around here and they have a kind of a book with them and they write in it everything. And I just feel that it's so much God's heart that he wants to have a connection with us, with a relationship with us, that it's so important that he even sent angels to notify it. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that we will hear your voice. Thank you that we will hear it more clearly, Father. And thank you that no one will be too scared to receive what is his for today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.